Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 580. We're in Living Marriage, the end of Lesson 7. This is the last Shir on Lesson 7 on Understanding Love, the three types of love, the external ones of pleasure and benefit, and the real internal pure one of virtue and becoming one. We started to discuss the connection of a Rebbe and Talmud, which is extremely important, as we're going to explain how it relates to marriage relationship and how that flows from it. But the idea being is that the Rav Talmud relationship is not an intellectual one of just giving over information, but it's an emotional one and a unifying love relationship. That's the way it's meant to be. And that's why there's disillusionment often in the Rebbe Talmud relationships or in yeshiva systems and others, and thank God it's changing, of thinking that it's just a relaying of Torah information and things like that. And we talked last time about how the small piece of wood ignites the larger piece of wood. A large log can only be lit by small twigs. The students are like small twigs. And they could have made a small fire even without the large log when joined with it, and they connect to a larger fire. But without those small twigs, the large log cannot make a fire at all. So it actually, the large log, which is the Rebbe, receives more than the twigs from the twigs than they receive from it. The Maral discusses this in Derech Chaim, Perek Vav, Mishnah Zayin of Perkei Avos, that he describes it, that the Ketanim Echadet Demesak Doilem, the smaller ones sharpen the greater ones, Vipnei Shehem Shai Alim B'Yoyser, because they ask the questions, they inspire by asking questions, and the Chacham has to answer it. It's similar to the fire grasping the small one more because he's the one asking it. And that's what it says, Mitalmida Yoyse Mikulam. Mitalmida Yoyse Mikulam. The Chaverim, yeah, they ask each other and they come to the wisdom based on that. Talmida more because they really sharpen the Rebbe and bring out its deepest potential. So look in the Maral over there. It explains it more in detail. So the appreciation of a Rav and a Talmud unifying into a larger unit that produces a great light of Torah that cannot be achieved by each one individually. That uplifted state is not dependent on anything outside their relationship. It's a unifying love, as the Ikrim says, that's echad, that's really one. And although other relationships could ascend to that level, they can be found at lower levels, but a Rav Talmud relationship will not work if it's external. It's not just about giving over information or your quote-unquote Torah. It's a unifying connection, a love for one each other. It's souls. Rav Pam used to say, I'm not teaching Talmidim. I'm living with them. I forgot his exact expression. I'm sorry, I'm not quoting it right. But the idea being is he's not teaching Torah as an intellectual thing. He's actually with the Talmidim. That was the sentiment behind whatever line he said, which I don't remember right now. If a Rav does not love his Talmud, if his Rebbe does not love the Talmud, then you don't have a Rav-Talmud relationship. It does not work. It does not work. If it's a matter of I give my shir and you accept my Torah, fine. If not, not. And that's it. Without a real personal connection to each neshama of the Talmud, that's not a Rebbe. That's not a Rebbe. Plain and simple. B'shinantem levanecha, the Yalkut Shemayni says in Devarim, Perek Vav, Remes Tavtav Mem Aleph, B'shinantem levanecha, you teach your sons, Elu Talmidecha. These are your students. Students are called sons. Just like students are called sons, the teacher is called father. So it's a father-child relationship. The Rav Talmud relationship, to have its unifying, unconditional love relationship that's meant to be, that's a father-child relationship. And he writes in a note here, Rabbi Shechadowitz, he says that our generation is fortunate to have many Torah teachers who know how to embrace the proper Rav Talmud relationship. Fortunate are the students who have experienced such a relationship. Unfortunately, there are still teachers who have become like professors, who merely give over facts, aren't interested in hearing their students' questions, and have no real connection to them. Accepting the role of a Torah teacher is a tremendous responsibility and is essential that one who is blessed to have such an opportunity to appreciate what that position entails. I think Rapam's words is, I'm not teaching Torah, I'm teaching Talmidim. He looked at the Talmidim as Talmidim. That was what he was doing. So that's really the idea. So now transferring, going to the idea of marriage, a love between husband and wife in that love of virtue. And the same thing applies. There could be a level of love because of mutual pleasure from one another, mutual benefit from one another, mutual similarity, and trust, of course. So the marriage must be rooted on all of those, but it must be rooted on virtue, on just being one, loving for its own sake, inner unity, shechina in a couple's home, expressing ultimate unity. The love of pleasure in marriage will decay over time. If the exclusive kavana is the pleasure, whether it's sexual pleasure, whether it's monetary pleasure, whether it's that he does my laundry, or that she does my laundry, or that he pays my bills, it'll decay over time. Now, is there a place for such love in marriage? There is a place for such love. We told about it. You don't discount it. If used properly, even if you had that intention for a large extent, the sexual pleasure, the monetary pleasure, the other types of convenience pleasures that you have for one another, fine. It could be a powerful tool to enhance the connection to get to that higher level. That's sort of a level of mitech shalai lishma balishma lishma. So we're not knocking love of pleasure. But you can't let it deteriorate downward. You bring it upward. You use it as a platform to enhance your unity, even on the physical level, to get to a higher emotional level and spiritual level. So love is always a powerful force. And you could incorporate those lower levels and expressions to bring them to the ultimate level of closeness. So very often newlyweds are like this. They start out their love with a powerful physical attraction, love of pleasure. And then the idea is, okay, all right, so no crime in that. But use it to enhance now your inner desire to unify so that the love of pleasure does not become the central point of the relationship. And unfortunately, in early marriage, it's based on pleasure and they lose their focus and it deteriorates. But if you go to the higher focus, they not only won't it deteriorate, but that love of pleasure could be enhanced in a healthy way. Same thing today, benefit and similarity. This is really, really sad. Today, many marriages, even in from Torah observant homes, are based primarily on the love of benefit and similarity. It's like acquaintances. It's not acceptable for marriage couple. It's like two business partners. There's a connection between them, but if that, there's bumps in the road with that, the love will disappear. You could have those lower love levels, but it'll be cold, like a business. You have to go beyond that. It's okay to have those loves, but bring it as a platform to the higher love, like we say. If you don't do that, it will wither. It will unravel. And you have to be very, very careful about this. Relationships founded on those lower levels of love are no guarantee of permanence. Now, we're not knocking it, we said, that Shaloi Lashma is important. You originally, part of your decision to marry this wife, this husband, is because of physical attractiveness, sexual connection, what you're benefiting from each other physically, sexually, monetarily, or other aspects. That's okay. That's okay. But if you stay that way, in that external point, it will become static and often deteriorate. You use it as an impetus of shaloi lishma getting to lishma. You use those two lower levels of love to get to that higher level of love. And then you can have all three in the most healthiest way. Then at the end of this chapter, he gives a note, a lesson, a message for the husband. And we'll be messiahing this shir with this. And this ends lesson 7, Understanding Love. He brings the golden words of the Rambam in Halacha Yutes, in Hilchus Ishus Perak Tesvav. He says, Chein Tzivik Chachamim, Shiyad Mechabed Es Ishtoi Yoyser Migufay. Respecting the wife more than his body. Vayhava and love her, Kigufay like his body. And that's Halacha Yotes. Halacha Chaf is Chein Tzivik Chachamim Ala Isha. It is a commandment on the woman. Sheti Mechabed Es Bala Yubi Yoyser, to honor her husband more. There should be a fear. It doesn't mean fear like we talk about. It's the fear, the physical fear, the emotional fear is dangerous, health, toxic, terrible. Moira here means a certain awe and respect. That's the idea. An honor and respect type of Moira. And Tasiko Maseh Alpia, to do everything through Alpia, through what he says. The Abeinah should be in her eyes, Kamoisar Oimelech, like a prince or a king. And again, we're going to talk about an other shiurim. Does not mean your highness, you know, thank you sir, no sir, yes sir. There needs to be a friendliness and familiarity. It doesn't contradict the deep respect that we're talking about here, which is needed. And the wife should follow the desires of his heart and distance from all that is hated by him. Now if one examines the Rambam's words carefully, in Halacha Yotes, it says that the husband should love his wife like his body, but honor her more than his body. In Halacha 20, when it talks about the wife's obligations, it states that she must honor her husband. It doesn't say that she should love him. It's an amazing thing. If you look carefully in the Rambam, when it talks about the husband's obligation, you have to honor and love her. When it talks about the wife, it doesn't say that she needs to love him. It says she needs to respect him. Why is that so? The answer is because it doesn't need instruction. A wife, beteva by nature, is full of love. We'll learn later, even vel ishech teshukaseich, the mefarshim, the rishonim, the achrayim, all say that when it says that the wife has a desire, it means they're the physical sexual desire, but it means the yearning to be one with her husband. That's not part of the klala. Even though it says, you're going to say b'zeis hapecha was part of the klala, although that's also a bracha, or the be'etzef talibanim, the difficulties in childbirth, so child rearing is part of the klala, although that too becomes a bracha, separate. But vel ishech teshukaseich, that those words of a wife yearning to be with her husband, physically, sexually, or emotionally, is not part of the klala. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's put into the teva as a good thing. Nothing to do with any klala. Nothing to do with chetei tzadas. Which means that a wife naturally loves her husband. And by she doesn't need to, if the husband honors and loves her properly, then the love will be automatically felt by her and re-reciprocated. But he, the husband, has that obligation more, because for him it's not so natural. He has to work beyond his own self. He needs to recognize the value of his wife. He needs to love her like his own body. On the other hand, the wife's love for her husband will flow naturally if he does his part. Her own nature will give him double, triple, reciprocate the love that he gives her. So this is a very important message to the husbands, to give that honor and respect and love. A wife, of course, on her end, of course she should try to love her husband and work very hard towards that. But her main thing is that respect and honor, like we're going to discuss, Mitzvah Hashem, in future Shiurim. And we went through, finally, 7, Baruch Hashem, 7 of these 10 lessons. We're going to go into lesson number 8, which is about harmony, embracing differences, accepting lacks, fulfilling needs, an extremely important chapter, lesson number 8. Lesson number 9 is about individuality and intimacy. It goes really important things. Lesson 10 is understanding the Yetzer Hara and how to direct it. And then it has other notes at the end of it from other lessons that we're going to go through. And Bez Hashem, we will continue. Because this book, this Sefer, is really gold, and it's a manual for life and a manual for marriage. It'll enhance marriages greatly. Bracha v'atzlacha.